I'm going to get up and sort of walk around, and I hope somebody's going to be pumping the thing, but maybe just hit the space bar. What I'm going to be talking about today is a little bit of what I think is a, you know, what I will argue is a sea change in the way that we've done management in the most advanced industrial countries. And I think particularly in public management, the UK is a very important and interesting case. If I was presenting this internationally, I would be trying to run down the UK. But since we're in the UK, I'm going to sort of build it up a bit. And I think it's certainly true. If you look back in 2004, across the whole of the European Union, there was €86 billion spent on government IT, and about €21-22 billion out of that figure, that's to say roughly a quarter, was being spent in the UK. So, you know, this is a period of tremendous investment by the government in improving public service productivity in the UK. And personally, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's going to succeed in terms of showing, you know, definite large-scale, overtime, 10-year kinds of improvements. So I think that's really important, because if we can just move on to the I want to just say a little bit about where we've been and a little bit about where I think we are now. So we've been in a period called, in the academic world at least, New Public Management, or NPM. And this had a whole bunch of features, and there are some scholars of New Public Management in the audience now who are like Michael Barzilay, who's written a whole book on this, so I feel suitably modest, and I know he won't agree with my characterization of it, but in a sense, you know, this talk is a sort of a coming out of a paper that we published with Tom Margetts from Oxford University, which says that NPM is dead, that this period is finished, and we're moving on. And if that's right, the question is, what are we moving on to? And most of the time you'll see people talk about after NPM or post NPM, and it just means there's something there, but we don't know what it is. And we would like to characterize this in a different way, a way which says essentially that that we're in a different era. It's a digital era generally. The governance arrangements have changed because it's a digital era. They've not changed directly in a technological determinist way, but they have changed substantially. And then, you know, even if we agree that that's ended and that started, there are questions about what kind of a change process we have going on. And all I'm going to do there is just offer you five images as sort of possible stimuli for discussion. So let's just think about new public management. This will look very off-putting to you, I'm sorry. But basically, it's a simple idea that the past 20 years has been dominated by a combination of three key ideas. One is chunking up government and making the big government units smaller. That was a key thing. So disaggregation. And making them more focused, and making them concentrate much more on what they were really trying to do. Secondly, introduction of competition, particularly outsourcing, privatization, other kinds of changes. And thirdly, incentivization, really focusing on trying to bring economic incentives into the public sector to improve performance of units in terms of targets, the performance of individual staff in terms of performance-related pay, and performance in terms of assets, use of assets by privatization, asset sales. So those are the sort of basic themes of the last 20 years, and the combination of those themes hasn't changed the same. It's evolved over that time. One of the great things about the new public management agendas has been very flexible, very capable of adding new things, bringing things in, mainstreaming them, moving on to the next thing. But what I want to do is to suggest that if you look at the sort of detail elements that form this whole package up, quite a lot of them are not doing terribly well. So basically anything in brown with an X by it is not doing well. Anything in blue with a tick by it is still going strong. Anything in green, well, it's there, but it's a little bit unclear. So if we think about the disaggregation elements, purchaser, provider, separation, agencification have been very, very big in Britain. 58% of the British Civil Service moved out into agencies. That whole thing, I think, that period has come to an end, and there's been a disillusionment, I think, in some aspects with some of these things. Mainly because disaggregation tends to create more silos. Silos tend to create difficulties. The whole theme of the current government policy since 1999 has been joined up governance. And I know for sure that that's happening because we're just doing a big survey of innovation in central government for the NAO, and joined up governance was one of the big themes that's come out of what people are actually doing on the ground. And there have been quite a lot of the sort of adverse effects. Some of these things start out very well and then perhaps have been reversed, including these things. Whereas these things down here, performance measurement league tables, they've come along a bit. We move on to the next bit. Just looking at competition, not so many failing things here now. Quasi-markets, I think, and voucher schemes have never worked and have been sort of withdrawn in the places where they had previously worked, such as the British Health Service and the Italian Health Service. There's quite a lot of things where we're still we're in a kind of area, a zone of it's not quite clear what's happening. It's working in some areas and perhaps not working in other respects here in terms of outsourcing particularly. Consumer tagged financing, sort of getting the budget out of going to agencies and putting it in virtual packets on the back of each consumer as they go into the school or the hospital, that's still going. And user control, I think, is going. Let me move on to the last bit. Again, I think we've got a few things where we can point to things that aren't going very well. There's quite a lot here it's public-private partnerships and private finance initiative, I'd say, is just on the cusp of stopping. I mean, it's been a huge, huge growth in the market in the last 5 years, but I think it's about to go back. And we've got some serious sorts of things going wrong over privatization of, obviously, rail track, but also, our air traffic control system, our nuclear waste disposal system. We're having quite a lot of cases where it's quite clear that you bring, under some arrangements, if you bring private sector in, you get a bit vulnerable to possible capital market problems or bankruptcy problems or whatever. So you get a kind of additional risk, which is not very easy to transfer out of. Whereas down here, these things, I think, are still going strong. So if we think, why then is the, moving on? What's gone wrong? Well, it's not really necessarily that anything's gone very much wrong, because new public management, has lots of things that it could claim to have done better over a long period of time. But I think one of the things that happens with any kind of very well organized agenda, especially in public management and public policy, is that you tend to produce some bad effects which look like side effects and look as if they're rather small to the individual organisations that are introducing changes, but which over a long period of time can become rather problematic. So if citizens no longer feel able to solve problems on their own, that's a very bad thing. And on the whole, a lot of new public management change will tend to make citizens feel that they can't, that they knew how to work the old system, they don't know how to work the new system. I think that's currently a big issue, for example, in opposition to current government plans for schools and so on. So we've had a lot of effects which have sort of tended to reduce citizens' competencies, and we've had a lot of effects tending to make the policy system more complex out of new public management. And generally speaking, the more complex things get, the harder it is to solve social problems. So if we just move on and see how those interconnect, basically you tend to have a new public management introduced, you have a change of public management regime. It's done for very good reasons. The aim is to improve specific social problems, and there are some direct effects that are positive. Otherwise it wouldn't have been sustained for 20 years and gone on. But if you have sort of negative effects, which are shown in grey, and they make citizens feel less able to sort their own problems out, that has a bad feedback effect. And if you have increased policy complexity, that reduces social problem solving. So the problem is that you have positive direct effects, and sort of anything grey is bad. Now, the question is, what's the balance of those two? I mean, you know, if the grey effects are very small and, you know, not very serious, you don't worry about them, but it's the balance between the things that are positive for social problem solving and the things that are negative. That's a positive, but the point is, if you reduce that, citizens feeling that they can control things, then you have problems. Now, what I want to argue is that if we move on to the next phase, that really the change that's taking place now is towards a new pattern, which is, to some degree, you'll look at it and you'll think, oh, well, that's just the reverse of everything that's gone before. And I'm not saying that, as I wanted to say at the end. But let's just move on and look at what the three key elements of this are. Well, the first is reintegration, pulling things back together, and especially pulling things back together on the web and with all the implications that implies. But a lot of different ways of pulling things back together, some of which are, you know, still being characterized in terms like privatization. If you have a lot of shared services, in some ways that's pulling things back together, but it might be in the hands of a private contractor rather than a government contractor. But the most important thing is to pull things back to counteract disaggregation. Second thing is a whole of government, whole of citizen, whole of needs sort of based approach, which is very important. And obviously joined up governance is part of that. And the third thing, which is the only specifically techno bit, I'm not saying, you know, technological determinism, the technologies change, therefore the whole of government will change. But instead I'm saying that there is an important, specifically techno bit, which is a whole set of digitalization changes. So let's just run through those very quickly in a little bit more detail. These are the bits that really are about reintegration. There's no... Having told you there was a colour code before, there's no colour code here, it's just for two groups, really. So there's a lot of push in government to sort of pull things back into government. There's not as much as some people like Alan wanted when he was in government, and he wanted to run all the government websites himself, and no doubt it would have made a much better job of it if he'd done it. But that's the kind of very strong push back in a different direction from the previous direction. And you can see that over a lot of processes, and even things like Gershon is beginning to have big impacts here. And I think, you know, re-engineering and shared services could be a new sort of area where there'll be a lot more pulling together of things that were previously handled separately. Let's move on to holism. Well, here what you're doing is trying to take a citizen-focused or a needs-focused kind of approach. So the whole push towards one-stop shops, towards transparent movement between agencies from the citizen's point of view, the push towards getting a full understanding of what people are doing and how they're behaving, the push to really look at a whole set of very fragmented historical legacy systems, you know, starting with forms but going through the whole set of things that follow. And the push towards, you know, having more agile government, that's to say faster response in real-time government that isn't plagued by lots and lots of siloing and fragmentation problems. That's very important. And the third bit, the digitalization elements, are the most important sort of techno-based bits of the picture. So obviously e-government has made huge strides. I think maybe it started slowly in the UK, maybe it racked up slowly, but it's certainly beginning to sort of begin to break through. Possibly we're going to see a big push towards different forms of IT provision for smaller agencies and decentralized agencies. Do they really need to have bespoke computer systems? Do they really, in fact, need to... Could they sort of treat their IT like the gas supply, where they didn't really need to make any conscious investment, they just need to have a service contract with, you know, a robust range of suppliers that will raise all kinds of big competition and security issues. Pushing towards new forms of automated processes, cutting out the middleman. It's been a hard struggle, and middle person, I should say. Sorry. I think at some future date, not very far off, moving towards mandated channel reduction. So you say, well, you can continue to write to us, or you can continue to visit the office, but we'd have to charge you for that compared with, you know, doing things over the web. I don't think that it is actually economically feasible for government to do what it's been doing for the last 5 to 8 years, which is to say, yes, let 1,000 flowers bloom in terms of how you can communicate with us. At some point, you've got to sort of begin to say, well, we've provided these services, they're very cheap for you, they're very cheap for us. The public interest is that you should really use this venue rather than another. It will be a difficult thing to do, but I think it's going to happen. And a lot of changes which are about isocratic administration is the tech-sounding word. It just means do-it-yourself government, basically, which is to say that most of the time people have, you know, vastly greater information about their own way of doing things, what they need from government and what they owe to government and what their individual situation is. And so if we give them the capacity to manage their own interactions, you know, a very large proportion of the population will want to manage their reactions in a compliant way. Just as at the moment, you know, most people pay taxes not really because they're being forced to pay taxes, but because of quasi-voluntary compliance. Now, the point about all of these changes is that, of course, all the arrows go green. It's a very unique period in government. If we to implement this whole agenda, then we would not only be able to get some direct traction on a whole load of problems, but we'd also be able to sort of increase citizens' competence to run their own affairs, which is very, very important. And citizens, of course, also includes private sector firms. Very, very important. The more people can run their own affairs, the less government is actually, you know, the more government's boosting that, and the less government's eroding that, the better it's going to be. But the other thing is this reduction in complexity. effect, if it can be done. Now, of course, it's a very tricky thing to say. You know, there are, whatever it is, 36,000 US federal government websites. It took the US a very long time to even find, you know, get a finder site that told you which one to look in. So there's all kinds of problems about whether you really do reduce complexity. But the more you can set up the do-it-yourself government, the more you can actually do that by cutting out layers of complexity that have previously confused people. So then let's move on to my final bit, which is to say, how should we envision the changes that are going on now? You've probably all got some picture in your mind of, and I really mean picture, I mean a real sort of physical picture. If you were to, what's going on, you know, how would you think about this? Well, the sort of classic British negative way of thinking about it is, if anybody says this is different from that, they say, oh, it's a U-turn, which is a sort of, we were doing one thing, now we're doing diametrically the opposite thing, and therefore we're back to where we started from. And the complete, don't let's, no, could you just go back to that one, sorry, please, Dan? The complete thing, which I haven't put down, is a European pessimist thing, where we just go round and round in a circle. But, yeah, so, you know, the British are not completely pessimistic, but they tend to think about things as being very, very sort of 180-degree turns. So if we, whereas the Europeans would add another loop and say it's toujours la même chose. You know. Anyway, let's look at other possible images. The next one would be the idea that you have some trend, let's call it modernization, and that we have a kind of actual track that we're using, and maybe this was our big up curve NPM track, maybe this is a sort of down curve digital era governance track in some sense. It's still continuing, but it's not going in the same direction as before, but it's still part of the same trend, and in time we would see some return to this. Another model is a little bit more sort of, again, continental, a kind of dialectical model where, you know, there's a trend, but there are very sort of strong conflicts around the trend. And you have an NPM phase, and then you have a digital era governance phase, and then there'll be some kind of synthesis. If you've studied Marx in your youth or Hegel, you'd recognize this, and out of that we'll get to another phase of an underlying modernization process. I think there's you know, possible images, but the one I favor, which is slightly different, yes, is a little bit more controlled sounding. The notion of tacking, you know, so that what we see in the shift from new public management to digital era governance is a profound change of direction, but it's a profound change of direction at one level only, and one could argue, if you could just pop up the next slide, that there's still an underlying direction in there, just as if a boat tacks, there's still an overall navigational push. I think my sort of slight contribution would be to just add one more element, namely that you're tacking within a rather narrow margin, narrow set of feasibility limits. And I think what sort of happened to new public management about 3 or 4 years ago was to sort of step over the limits and get into a certain set of crises, both here and in the US, which has triggered and helped trigger a bit of a change of direction. We're still in the early days of digital era governance. At some point, there will be some other kind of limit that we need to think about, but that's still a long way off. And that's really all I wanted to say by way of introducing the topic. And I'm going to hand over to Alan.